Hello and welcome to this podcast from the International Crisis Group. I'm Connor Walsh, the podcast producer in Brussels. Our Central Africa analyst, Ned Dalby, brings us an update on the Lord's Resistance Army in Darfur and the Central African Republic. Almost 2 years ago, the Ugandan army launched an assault on the LRA in Congo, but the LRA attacks on civilians continue.
Some groups are still preying on civilians in Congo and making cross-border raids into South Sudan. Others moved north into Central African Republic. In August this year, Kony and his second-in-command, Okot Odhiambo, led a group of 200 through northeast Central African Republic and across the border into South Darfur. Their raiding parties have attacked villages on both sides of the border. They took food, medicine, clothes and new prisoners and killed those who tried to stop them.
It's an old survival strategy. Their brutality scares others away, giving them more space, and the Ugandan army can't pursue them anymore.
No, it doesn't have permission from the Sudanese government to follow Kony in Darfur, and that's part of the reason why he's there. He may also be hoping to receive support once again from Sudanese President Bashir, who in the early 2000s used the LRA as a proxy force against the South Sudanese rebellion.
No military group is in a position to protect the remote villages and hunt Kony, apart from the Liberation and Justice Movement, another rebel group that claims to have fought the LRA. Things are looking little better in the neighbouring Central African Republic, even though the Ugandan army has been there for more than a year, pursuing the LRA in the forests, and with some success. But
in recent months, the Ugandans have been withdrawing from the CAR, and in mid-August, they dismantled their base in the northeast. 2 weeks later, the LRA attacked a nearby village, killed four civilians, abducted over 30, and burned about 100 homes. The Ugandan army says it is reorganizing its forces, and now that it cannot pursue Kony into Darfur, is concentrating on tracking down LRA fighters in Congo. It also says it's pulling out of the Central African Republic because the country's president, François Bozizé, demanded its withdrawal.
Dalby says Bozizé sees the LRA as a threat and a good reason to get more financial and material support from abroad.
He wants the Ugandans out, so donors keen to end the LRA, the US in particular, direct more support to his own army. For the time being, the Ugandans are keeping a foothold in the southeast to monitor the border area in case Kony returns. It is crucial for the safety of the Central African people that they stay. The Central African armed forces are too few. There's only 300 in the southeast and fewer in the north, and too poorly equipped to protect civilians from attack, let alone pursue the LRA in the bush.
There is a small UN peacekeeping mission there, but it will probably have left by the end of November. So protecting civilians is officially left to a rebel group, the Union of Democratic Forces for Unity, UFDR, led by Zakaria Damane.
The UFDR is relatively well armed, and some are experienced fighters, but most were civilians until the rebellion began in 2006. It is doubtful they are up to the task of fighting the LRA. In early September, one group of rebels, alongside civilian self-defense forces, pursued the LRA into the bush on foot and fell into an ambush. Two rebels were killed and seven badly wounded.
Dalby says the rebels' willingness to fight the LRA is welcome in the short term as there's no one else to do it, but also says this new dynamic could upset the fragile peace between rival ethnic militia operating in the zone.
A reconciliation and disarmament process is in early stages, but the LRA threat and the government's decision to provide the UFDR rebels with extra ammunition puts all that on hold. The UFDR rebels largely belong to one ethnic group, the Gula, and giving them more power could create tensions with other tribes.
International Crisis Group published LRA, a regional strategy beyond killing Kony earlier this year, and Dalby says its recommendations still stand.
The international community should respond in three ways. First, Kony must not be allowed to regroup and gain strength in Darfur. The international community should hold President Bashir to his March 2010 promise to rid Sudan of the LRA. It should put pressure on him to send the Sudanese armed forces to South Darfur to eliminate Kony's group and authorize UNAMID to conduct a fact-finding mission in the area. Second, to better protect civilians in the CAR, the international community should make sure the Ugandan army's withdrawal stops now and pressure President Bozizé to allow its return to the northeast. Third, to assure civilian protection in northeast CAR and the longer-term stability of this area, the Central African government should urgently begin negotiations with the Economic Community of Central African States and the African Union to increase the strength of MECOPACS, the regional peacekeeping body currently deployed in the northwest of CAR, and then extend its mandate to include civilian protection and peacekeeping in the northeast.
In Nairobi, that was Ned Dolby, Crisis Group's Central Africa analyst. For more information about the LRA, go to our webpage, www.crisisgroup.org. Thank you for listening to this International Crisis Group podcast.